This episode is brought to you by GetMobile ID, the smart choice for MDL implementations. Put citizens in control with GetMobile ID. Fully ISO compliant and UL certified for all transaction modes. Learn more at getgroupna.com. Welcome to AmbaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Amba community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back. This week, I have two guests joining me to look at our look back on the AMBA Leadership Academy, because 2024 marks 10 years since the original class of 2014. And joining me to talk about it, two graduates, one Nancy Prescott from Vermont, who is a member of the original inaugural class of 2014, and Amy Anthony of Delaware, who is from the class of 2018 and is one of our now many examples of a alumnus of the program who's gone on to become chief administrator. Amy, Nancy, welcome to the AmbaCast.
Great. Thank you
for having us.
Nancy, 2014, not totally 10 years ago, because it was the fall of 2014. It was actually the only class we did in the fall. It was the very first one. Then it became a spring program. Can you believe it's been almost 10 years?
I can't. However, looking back, it definitely time has gone by so quickly, but a lot of the lessons learned there are still with me.
Yeah.
So when you think about the time frame that it's gone by, you think of some of the traits, some of the opportunities that were had are still with us today.
So let's talk about those. Certainly, I mentioned Amy has since become a chief administrator in Delaware. Your role has also changed and evolved in Vermont since that time there. Let's start there about how your careers have progressed and changed following. I'm not going to take all the credit, that was the Leadership Academy, but certainly, you know, we like to look at those metrics of people that have been able to use those tools and lessons to grow their careers. Mm-hmm. How has your path changed since the Leadership Academy 10 years ago?
So I went into the Department of Motor Vehicles in Chief of Operations. Mm-hmm. That is also the title that I held at the time when I attended the Leadership Academy. Mm-hmm. Since then, I have been awarded the position of Director of Operations, mm-hmm. which comes with a lot of professional growth, mm-hmm. a lot of growing within my strengths and weaknesses, mm-hmm. which come from a lot of the networking opportunities and the relationships that you're building along the way. And a lot of it does come from the AMVA opportunities, and one of them is the Leadership Academy.
And not only Leadership Academy, I think we'll come back to it, because both of you have been active and engaged on other committees mm-hmm. and working groups in other ways as well. And Amy, certainly you were not the chief administrator in 2018 when you came to our class.
No, that is correct. I've moved up several times. At that point, I was program manager, and then I became chief of driver services, and then deputy director, and again now director of the division. So it has been a whirlwind.
Yeah, that's only 6 years. That's a lot for 6 years.
Yes, it is. It is. But as Nancy said, you know, the skills that we learned at that Leadership Academy, you know, one great point is conflict. You know, I use a lot of that time to think conflict is not always bad. Mm. And sometimes you originally think, oh my goodness, XYZ happened, or this is happening now, this is such a bad thing, but it's not. You know, you can use conflict to make change. Mm-hmm. It brings things to the forefront, and how do we move forward but make changes? Mm-hmm. You know, and just different management skills, mm-hmm. you know, visual management. One thing that I learned was a board. You know, if you had some management board mm-hmm. with all of your projects and it's visual, you can visually see what you're working on. Well, I did that. You know, I took that back, and when I became chief of driver services, mm-hmm. you lay out all your projects. It's very scary at first. I think we had 20 or 30 projects.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't realize I had that much. But if you use that visual board, you can see that, you can move, and you can reprioritize. Your team can. So at a moment's notice, you can look and see what your priorities are. Mm-hmm. And then if something changes, just move those little cards. It seems so simplistic, but it was very helpful.
How did the rest of the team react when you went back and tried to introduce some of those new methods? Like, let's put it all up on a board, or there's probably some other examples of where you leave that week so excited with all these new tools, and then you come back optimistic, positive, you try to introduce some new things, and how does the team react?
Well, they actually did love the visual board. the people on that team, on the driver's side, they loved having that visual of all the different mm-hmm. projects to see. So that way they can see what the priorities are. I added the dates, the due dates, implementation yeah. dates, which was great. It was always funny to see the other side of the house, the people that weren't involved in those projects, and they walk by and they see all these different colors. What is that?
What's going on over there?
And it just prompted conversation, and it, yeah. you know, it helps build that relationships within your division too, and it gives them ideas, and you know, you guys can build off of each other mm-hmm. and work together to come to that common goal.
Yeah. What about you, Nancy? What was one of the some of the first changes that you tried to bring back and implement following the lessons?
So one of the things that you asked Amy
yeah.
was, how was it received?
Yeah.
How was it received? You come in with so much excitement, or at least mm-hmm. I did, mm-hmm. with a lot of passion, and I can't imagine anybody else didn't. And you're ready to move things. You're literally ready to move the cinder blocks forward mm-hmm. and forward thinking and knowing that you're unstoppable at the moment. Mm-hmm. But when you hit back into your home environment, that's not necessarily the way it is received.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that path wasn't a no, we're not going to. It's no, we're not going to at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really important for me to be able to take the little bits and pieces that I could by planting the seed, continuing to keep it in the forefront to help facilitate why we needed to do certain things, what was a benefit to me as well as to the team, and to be able to show that.
Mm-hmm.
And in time, that's how I was able to achieve and welcome the opportunities to move things forward mm-hmm. in different manners. I think you do come back to your home place with all kinds of ideas and
mm-hmm,
excitement,
mm-hmm.
but the practicality of everyday business and the priorities may not align in that moment.
Mm.
So it was super important for me to not lose what I had gained, know that it had to be moved forward in the proper time, and the proper time was always continuing to plant the seed, do the drips, move things forward. And Amy as well, that visual board also resides currently still in my office. And one of the things that helped was transparency.
Mm.
I always try to be as transparent as much as I can. I do believe in leading forward with the subject matter experts and having everybody on board. And everybody knowing what our goals are and what our obstacles and challenges are,
mm-hmm.
and knowing whether we're meeting certain deadlines. So when it comes to conflict and or challenges, those can be very tough.
Mm-hmm.
Those can be very difficult. However, it's an opportunity for change.
Yeah.
And usually when those items come up, it is past the opportunity of where you said we should have looked at this,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. So those are need to be welcomed and embraced.
Yeah.
And we learned a lot of the skill set at the Leadership Academy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in particular one individual came from the outside and put us in the most uncomfortable situations of having to be in the forefront of the public speaking and putting us in there, the whole juggling and everything. It was just like, but it connected to leadership attributes of breaking things up
yeah.
and taking one little piece at a time
mm-hmm.
to move things. And yeah.
So that idea of having what's only a 4-day program, but to put you into some uncomfortable situations, things that are outside of your comfort zone, and then recognizing you have to do that, whether that is managing conflict differently, using a visual way to organize projects, maybe didn't, or you know, one of the parts of the program that's often talked the most about, the improvisational skills.
Yeah.
And being able to communicate with people in a different way.
Yeah.
How much, even after 10 years or 6 years, do you feel like it sticks with you and it's a permanent change, or is it something that you do a lot out of the gate and over time, like you said, Nancy, you're back into that daily routine and you kind of slip back into some old habits? And organizational cultures are hard to change.
Mm-hmm.
And they change the people more than the people can change the culture. So I guess what I'm asking is, how much were you able to use this to shift the culture of your teams or a whole organization versus you had to accept the fact that this mm-hmm. culture is too big for me to influence, and I have to accept some of the reality.
That's a fair question. And I think the reality is that I personally took forward, and it isn't something that I was able to change immediately. It isn't something that I also slipped back mm-hmm. either. It is something that there was so much being offered for tools that I believe my professional growth was attributed to some of the pieces that I was able to retain and hold on to hard and fast. Mm-hmm. Now, are there times forward with the culture that what already exists? Absolutely. But every once in a while, something will slip back from an opportunity that was mm-hmm. given, a tool, a skill set that was brought forward mm-hmm. that you're like, maybe this is the opportunity to bring this forward. Not a natural habit, not something that you do on a regular basis, but something that you can reflect back on of what is in my toolkit that I can use in this moment.
Yeah.
And that is where that comes into play.
Now, I mean, how about you, Amy? I imagine, you know, again, the difference between coming back right out of the gate and being responsible for the role you're in versus now you're responsible for the entire agency. One could argue, well, now's your chance. Go back and use those tools and change the culture because you're in the chair that can.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And Nancy brought up some great points. And one thing that stick with me is risk taking. You know, one of the presenters said, don't be afraid to take risk. Mm. So, you know, we did some restructuring over the last several months and moved some responsibilities to either different sections or moved people into different areas and roles. And sometimes it's not receptive at first, but you explain the why, and this is why we're doing it. And in the end, it does make sense. What's the best for the section? What's the best for the division? What's the best for our customers? Yeah. And it only makes sense to make some of those moves. And so it is hard to make change sometimes. And another piece was the public speaking, right? Who loves public speaking? Not many people. But the skills, you know, that you're right.
That's
an exception.
Most of our listeners probably know, like, wait a minute, do you know who you're talking to there?
You're right.
Yeah.
You are not wrong.
Okay.
But the skills that you learn, and it's whether it's coming back just to your team, talking mm-hmm. to your team, or maybe just a vendor or your legislature, you know, having to testify for different bills, you know, some of those skills, they're just helpful. You know, you want to make sure you try to study. What do you anticipate they might ask you? And, you know, just try to practice yourself so that way you can never anticipate everything, but just be comfortable with what you're speaking.
Yeah.
There was just so many things that have helped throughout the years.
What about the philosophy of being a leader, right? So these are some really practical skills that you're able to deploy. In terms of the shift in the way you view yourself as a leader and what leadership means, that's often throughout the week kind of the recurring theme is sometimes, especially in the government space, what we think about as being a leader and the traits of a leader versus the type of leader you are aspiring to be, even in the aftermath of 6 or 10 years later. How has it changed what you try to do every day as a leader?
I personally know that I'm not the expert in everything DMV related.
Mm-hmm.
I surround myself with those strong individuals. I feel confident with those individuals, and I know and rely on those individuals. I do not put myself above them, and I strongly take that as it's a team.
Yeah.
It's not the I, and nobody will be successful without that team supporting and moving things forward.
Yeah, that's it. And it's knowing people is your best and biggest resource.
Mm.
Without them, we're nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, and embracing all of the different thought processes and the different cultures and the different ideas, and that's what moves us to where we are. And it just solidifies, so cliche, but for the people, right? We're here for the people, whether that's your own team or your customers, and what can we do to improve that for everyone? You know, being open and listening to, you know, suggestions, whether it's internal or you get some ideas from customers, and don't be afraid to, at first, sometimes you want to shut it down. You think, oh, that would never work. But then you just start thinking about it, and you can't have that mindset. Let's just take a step back, think about it, could we implement that whole yes and, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes comes yeah. to mind as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what, this is all hunky-dory and rose-colored glasses and things are happy. You must have some significant leadership challenges, though, that you're going through right now. To the degree you're comfortable sharing it and making it, you know, generic for listeners to hear, I'd be curious to know, what are some of the leadership challenges you're facing currently that you either then go back to that journal from the class and say, hey, is there anything here that can help me with this challenge? Or perhaps the academy doesn't, but is a leadership challenge that even experienced leaders like yourselves are facing?
For us, it's turnover. Mm. Our employee turnover is big, and I notice it's a nationwide problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just us, it's public sector, private sector, and it's also state government. So I hate to utter these words, but you do more with less sometimes. Yeah. And so it is trying to figure out how you do more with less without the burnout. And it's a struggle. So it's maybe making some changes to our hiring practices, you know, adding more items within our lobbies. We have these we're hiring cards with a QR code that we just give out. For those that know what a Wawa is, I was in a Wawa. Somebody gave great customer service. And, hey, do you know DMV's always hiring? And I give them, not sure if I probably should have done that at a Wawa, but, right. you know, gave her a card and said, hey, if you're ever looking for another job, we're hiring. And it's trying to think outside of the box and how we can promote and kind of just explain to the staff that you currently have why it's good to stay in state government, you know, with the benefits and the pension and long-term, right? Let's not think of the here and now.
Right.
Let's think of the future.
Yeah. One of our biggest challenges, which I think has evolved, especially since the pandemic, was we are having a hard time with retention and competing with the agencies that are 100% teleworking. And we are losing so many great individuals with knowledge and just great customer service. And that struggle's real. And one of the things that I got out of the Leadership Academy specifically was the relationships. Those opportunities, and I have utilized it, and I've even utilized Amy, even though she wasn't in my class, but
building my network.
Yes. It's huge to be able to pick up the phone, to be able to send an email saying, this is what we're going through. Have you seen it? What have been some opportunities that you saw in regards to these challenges? One of the things that I have learned is our challenges are not just to the state of Vermont. Yeah. They are nationwide. And somebody else has already figured it out.
So talk a little bit more about that network. I'm pleased to hear that you're utilizing. So you stay in touch with your classmates and across years. What's that interaction like to know that a decade later you're still interacting and collaborating with these folks?
It's not only a professional working group, it literally is a family unity of new friends that have been brought in into your circle. You look forward to seeing them and winning for them and rooting for them. You know what their challenges are. They know what your challenges are. When you see them, you're excited to hear of their growth and so forth, professionally as well as personally. So that is a very, very true statement when you are talking about the collaboration and the relationships that are built. They are not just professional. They do become much more.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, same exact thing with our class. We do the same. If one of us has a question, we're not sure how to tackle a problem, or maybe there's a process, and what we'll do is we'll reach out. I think we probably still have the chain from many, many years ago. We just keep building, right? And so it's, you know, like Nancy said, it's professional. But it's also personal. Hey, I'm leaving. I'm moving. I'm going to this, you know, agency, or I'm retiring, or this happened in my personal life, and it's congratulating them, and then it's meeting them again at the different AMVA conferences, and you know, just catching up, seeing what everyone's doing, and it's. I don't think people understand. Yes, it is great to go to all of the AMVA conferences and you get to build that network, but this is such a close-knit group, and then it builds off of each other. So then they've got a teammate, and they say, oh, you know what? This isn't your area of expertise, but can I put you in touch with X, Y, and Z, and can you help us with the problem? And it's just amazing what we've been able to accomplish just through that networking.
Yeah.
Community.
You know, it's very tough about cheering each other on, supporting each other. Before I pressed record, we were talking about how Spencer Moore, who's the chair of our board, is the first Academy alumni to be the EMVA chair of the board. And he was in your class, Nancy. He was also part of that first class in 2014.
He was. He absolutely was. And he is an individual, again, with those relationships that was built forward and along his professional growth and his journey. And, you know, those group emails of where we're throwing out some obstacles and challenges, and different individuals will reach out with solutions and or have you thought of this? Yeah.
Now, and you mentioned also earlier, Nancy, about professional development in the other EMVA activities. I want to talk a little bit about it because you've both been very engaged members in different areas. Nancy, I know one that always comes to mind with you is your work on IDEC.
Yes. The International Driver Examiner Certification has been another opportunity for me to be able to bring knowledge not only to other jurisdictions where there may be gap holes, but back to Vermont. So I find it very, very valuable for jurisdictions to participate in the committees and the working groups from a knowledge standpoint that you get to bring to that group, but the knowledge and the value is unprecedented that you bring back to your jurisdiction. I can't speak enough of that, and I have been so fortunate enough to be part of the IDEC board, met some amazing professional individuals, and again, contacts, continuing to evolve, challenges. You're not alone. Your jurisdiction's not alone. You have that working committee, that team, within your home state, but it is so much larger when you embrace and welcome all of these other opportunities.
And so, you know, again, when we talk about bringing it back, being able to better your own jurisdiction, someone then notices you, go, oh, Nancy's a leader in a different way because you're leveraging this information, and it helps you grow as a leader, whether that means very literal things like promotions and new opportunities, but even being able to be a leader in making other people better and making your programs better.
And that's it. Being a leader to bring those other individuals up forward, allow their strengths to be seen, allow their programs to be successful. That's exactly it.
And Amy, similarly, I know that the current one that you're engaged in is you're a member of our Identity Management Steering Committee, which is really helping to guide a bold new frontier of identity management.
Yes, and let's face it, mobile driver license is the way of the future.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many opportunities, there's so many vendors and agencies and organizations that can benefit from a mobile driver license, and there's unlimited potential for a mobile driver license. And something else that I feel like doesn't get enough credit, it's the EMVA surveys. I can't say enough how many times we've used a survey, whether we're looking for a legislative change or someone asks us a question. What does another state do? What does your counterpart do? We can pull that at a moment's notice, or the AMVA team, if we can't find a survey, within sometimes minutes, they get back to us with, you know what, here was a survey, or, you know, we don't have one that fits your needs. This is how you can submit a survey, or we can do it for you. You know, how can we help you? The AMVA community has been invaluable to my career, Delaware. I know so many other jurisdictions. We owe you all so much. It's all I can say.
Well, yeah. It's a two-way street. You know, we can facilitate anything, but if getting the right people to show up and engage and jump in the pool as folks like you do is what the magic that makes it work. So as you look back at the Leadership Academy, the growth you've had, others might be listening thinking, is this right for me? Is it a program I should look at? Knowing what you know now, what would you advise up-and-coming leaders? Obviously, you're going to say, of course, apply and go to it. But what would be the self-reflection questions you would say you want to ask yourself? Are you ready for this next step of the journey?
If you have aspirations for your professional growth within the motor vehicle division, do not allow time to be the reason that you do not submit your application to be part of it. We are all extremely busy. Nobody has enough time to get the things done that we need to. However, this is something of extreme value where you will get more out of this than the time you lost, and when you reflect back, it won't be considered time loss. You will be able to value that enough to say, this is worth it. And I'm here to say that class was beyond worth it. And I've attended other leadership. We all have leadership classes that are offered through our state agencies. The amount of time spent on working through an agenda for this was beyond impressive. It was very impressive. The tools and the skill set, and for me, the networking and building of the relationships was above that I could ever ask for. So thank you for that opportunity.
Of course. Amy, anything you would advise up-and-coming leaders to consider as they're charting their course?
Yes, don't doubt yourself. You know, sometimes within our jurisdiction, some people have asked me, should I apply? I'm not sure I fit in. You know, my job scope, I'm not really specific to a driver or a vehicle, you know, area. That's okay. Yeah. I mean, there's a vast array, whether it's law enforcement, there's legal, there's, you know, communication, there's so many other areas. And don't short yourself just because maybe you're afraid or the unknown. You know, absolutely go for it, because, again, that networking, you know, opportunity is invaluable.
Excellent. Well, Amy, Nancy, thanks for spending some time with me to chat today, to celebrate part of looking back on 10 years of this program, and to get updates on to where our alumni should go. Thinking maybe that's what we have to do more often, is kind of alumni spotlights. Where are they now?
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you all for listening this week. Thanks to our producers, Claire Jeffrey and Chelsea Hadwin. Till next week, stay well.
Thank you for joining us for AmbaCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey and Chelsea Hadwin, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode was brought to you by Get Mobile ID by Get Group North America. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.